Hi, everyone. I'm Rolling Redneck.
I'm Sphincter Envy.
And you're listening to
We Roll With It. Welcome back. It is episode 3. All right. So what are we talking about today, man?
Well, it's the season of giving between Christmas and the holidays. So I want to talk to everyone about awareness organizations and events. Because this is the time of the year where everybody wants to have their own awareness thing. Cancer awareness, disability awareness, homelessness awareness.
Exploding bowel disease awareness.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't have that, by the way, but it doesn't sound fun. Gosh.
Hopefully I won't have to find out if it's fun or not.
Hopefully I don't want it. Well, let me go to the document I have open.
Me too.
That's smart. Okay. I already read through it once and I just don't know why I'm like a blank slate right now, probably because I'm on the spot.
Well, while we work that out, I'm going to give everybody a fun wheelchair life hack.
All right, cool.
If you're sitting in a wheelchair, you probably noticed that your pockets are oddly arranged and don't really do what you want them to do. Because I tried putting things in my pants pockets before, and they just fall out because regular pants pockets don't really, they're not really meant for people who are sitting down, you know, when they're traveling. So my life hack is a lanyard. You probably see me holding one on the Patreon picture. And what I do with the lanyard is I put my house key and my ID card on the lanyard. And that way, I always know where the things vital for my outdoor trips are. They're not falling out of the pocket. Can't really be picked easily.
That's cool.
And more importantly, they're a lot harder to lose. You can put a wallet or something on a dresser and forget it. But a lanyard, you always know if it's there or not before you leave the house. Because you can tell you're wearing one.
Yeah, and you probably get used to the weight. So you probably feel naked without it. Like people do when they wear a watch.
Yeah, kinda. I've been wearing one since about sixth grade when I was first given access to my middle school's elevator because I don't really do stairs very well. And ever since then, it's always been a bit of a part of me.
Yeah, I got the keys to my high school elevator. Thought that was pretty cool.
Although, funny story about this. When I was in high school, we were looking for a new lanyard because, you know, whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And Dad found a Dos Equis lanyard.
Yeah.
Now, my school, technically speaking, had a zero tolerance policy for any clothing that had the brands of liquor or alcohol or whatever.
Yeah.
Or cigarettes. But nobody knew this. Nobody noticed that I was wearing a Dos Equis lanyard for 4 years.
Of course, you're the guy in the wheelchair.
It was like a week before my graduation that the principal walked up. He's like, "Should you be wearing that? It's an alcohol brand." I'm like, "Well, probably not, but do you want to get into the paperwork a week before the school year's over?"
And do we want to discuss the efficiency of your staff and how long I've been wearing this thing? We can get into that. Yeah, sure.
Well, my homeroom teacher did notice, but she was like, "If that's the worst thing he wears, I'll be happy."
Yeah, really. That's pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
So what
does... Anyway.
Yeah. What does...
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. We're going to keep doing that no matter what.
My train of thought runs a mile a minute. ADHD and all that nonsense.
What does awareness mean to you?
Well, awareness is a nice idea, and it means a starting point to me. Like 30, 40 years ago, we needed awareness of certain things. Mm-hmm. People needed to be aware of what to look for, you know, for certain disabilities. Somebody to tell parents to look for this if they think their kid might have whatever disability.
So it is disability awareness.
Yeah. Teachers need to be made aware of what to look for, you know. Mm-hmm. This was a good thing. This was progress because it meant more people were getting the help they needed.
Yeah.
However, to me, I think a lot of things are stuck in awareness mode. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all aware that people have autism now.
Yeah.
We're all aware that people have cancer now, or people have whatever disability we can think of off the top of our heads now.
Bipolar.
But,
other mental illnesses.
Yeah. And we've helped people take the first step in getting aware so they can get them treated or, you know, they know not to mistreat people with the disability in question.
But
to me, I think we need tangible action now. Now, a bit of a small backstory on me. I'm not sure you're aware of this, but I was on our mutual town's disability committee thingy. And we'd all do things for awareness. You'd have the city council proclaiming it something, something, whatever week. Disability Employment Awareness Week. Autism Awareness Week, whatever, whatever. Yeah. I'd say whatever, whatever, because there are like a million disabilities that people try to make aware of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there would be a proclamation of the Awareness Week. Somebody would get a plaque, yada, yada, yada. But nothing would actually change.
Yeah.
And this is kind of why I grew disillusioned with the committee.
Because they just wanted to make it pretty, say, yeah, we're very inclusive about disabled people, but we don't really have any, like, events or ways that we want to change things. We're not going to actually talk to disabled people, find out what they want to change or what they need or anything like that. They just wanted to probably make people quit talking and shut up, maybe get some good press and things like that.
You want how bad this committee was?
How bad what?
How bad the committee was?
How bad?
The place they were meeting in didn't even have an accessible bathroom.
Terrible.
I had to be like, hey, I know I'm new here, but if we're trying to include people with disabilities, the bathroom thing's kind of important.
Yeah. Bathrooms are...
They did end up fixing the bathroom after I pointed it out.
Good. Damn right, if you're on the committee.
I mean, what is the Disability Awareness Committee doing if they're not even aware that the bathroom should be wheelchair accessible in a public place covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act?
That's bizarre. I mean, how many people were on the committee?
Let's see. I think there were 10 people.
Wow, what the fuck? I was sitting here thinking, I was like, okay, if he says 20, I'm going to say what the fuck. But if he says 5, that could be okay and understandable. But hot stand. But Dan. And was it, who was the head of it?
It wasn't a disabled person, I can tell you that.
It wasn't a disabled person, is that what you said?
Yeah, as far as I can remember. But then again, take my memory with a grain of salt.
Me too, buddy.
Between the head injury, the epilepsy, you know.
I didn't know you had a head injury.
I mean, I've taken some falls.
Oh, okay.
Been hit and hit with a bunch of sports balls, you know.
Gotcha. But.
And let's face it, when you think about it, cerebral palsy is a kind of head injury.
Yeah, definitely, I think. I just think about it or mention it. So, of course, they wouldn't put a disabled person in charge of this committee. That's ridiculous. I think they should have definitely, like, that's the one person that should be, you know.
Unfortunately, this is not an uncommon thing, as you find out with a lot of these disability organizations. A lot of them are parent-led rather than disabled people-led.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes the parents and the disabled people have radically diverging goals. Most famously, the parent-led Autism Speaks group and the autistic person-led Autism Self-Advocacy Network or something.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of disability awareness groups holding very weird events to try to raise awareness.
Like
the weirdest I've ever seen. My college, I think a lot of other organizations do this too. They have their students or employees roll around in hospital wheelchairs along the campus, and they would roll around these wheelchairs to see what barriers there were. And everyone in disability services and the actual disabled people find the whole thing to be cringy.
Yeah.
Because instead of
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No. You said because.
Okay. Instead of actually asking the disability services people where the barriers were, which they could have done for free, and used the money saved to address some of those barriers, they rented out a bunch of rickety wheelchairs and publicized an event and had a bunch of people just roll around the campus looking like a bunch of people who have no idea what they're doing with their lives, to be polite.
Well, I can understand. Again, stand. So I will, I can undersit. Wanting able-bodied people to be more empathetic of disabled people and putting them in a wheelchair could possibly do that. And then some of them just might not give a fuck at all. But yeah, they were more, definitely more in-depth things they could have done than do that. Like maybe pair an able-bodied person up with a disabled-bodied person to get their perspective and ask them those questions like, hey, go find a disabled person and ask them what barriers there are and explain how those are difficult for them so that you know. But how do you feel about that? Would you be annoyed that they wanted to, some average able-bodied person would come up to you to ask you that? Or if it was for your university, would you?
If it were a pre-planned event, I would be less annoyed.
Yeah.
But like somebody randomly comes up to me and just like, you know, ask me a bunch of questions, they'd be like, okay, how do I end this conversation quickly?
Yeah. Don't break up my routine. I am an autistic man.
Yeah. Because the problem isn't that people aren't empathetic to the barriers so much as it is people aren't fixing the barriers. Don't have an event to make people empathetic to people facing barriers. Have an event fixing the barriers.
Well, one has to go before the other, too. So. But yeah, the latter needs to happen after the first one. And you're saying that the latter doesn't. They just ask or show concern, but don't necessarily follow up.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is about, you know, sending people out to ask the questions, the people who have the event being done, they already know the answers. They're just having the event to get themselves good PR without actually implementing the answers.
Yeah, and what most likely happened is somebody, like probably a parent, felt that their kid, disabled child, a student, something happened. And they probably told the school that they were very uninclusive or disability friendly or insensitive. And they were like, all right, and fine, we'll do this and this to show that we're not that way. So they don't get sued or something. Honestly, that's probably what happened.
Yeah, probably. But it's still weird because after the event, if there is no physical accessibility or the elevators keep breaking, they're not being inclusive.
Absolutely.
But if you take all the money running the event and putting it toward fixing the curb cuts, building a ramp, making sure the elevator is fixed within 3 hours after breaking rather than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Congratulations, I will call you inclusive.
Yeah.
But anyway, this has been mostly my rant, but have you ever experienced weird attempts at making people aware and not doing anything that actually is helpful?
I've been trying to think about it. Really, I don't think so. But I also haven't really been involved in my local disability community because I don't like most of my local community. And for me, it's hard to find weird people that are disabled. And so, as you know, I'm pretty freaking weird. So, and a lot of people don't like me.
Oh, that's mean of them. You're very likable.
No, oh, thank you. I just tend to be too much for people. And they're not enough for me. So let's put it that way.
Yeah. I guess I didn't really think of what I was suggesting this episode. It's mostly because I've had so much experience in the nonprofit sector. Like, are you people crazy?
No, it's good that you're out there trying to help. I'd really like to be. Like, a month ago, I was wanting to, and I still plan to go when it gets warmer, because it's way too fucking cold outside for me. But there's a disability group that meets at a cafe during the week on Wednesdays. I think it's through the ARC. Or ARC. And I want to go to that one day. So hopefully meet some cool people. There's even one for kids. And I think I would like mentoring a child with a disability, because I know how rough that is, as well as you do. So it would be nice to hang out with them and show them that
you can. I think my mom suggested that I mentor a child. I'm like, nothing good will come of that.
Well, I love kids.
They'll learn all sorts of new words.
Yeah, that's fun. You get to teach and make kids a little weirder. That makes me happy. Tell them you don't have to be straight-laced just because you're in a wheelchair. You can have all the fun you want. Fuck society.
Yeah. But on the subject of nonprofits, I will give a shout out to the ARC, because they're one of the few disability nonprofits that are actually good at being disability nonprofits.
Cool. I've never done anything with them. I heard about them a long time ago from one of my nurses that I had for a long time, and it wasn't until recently, when I was talking to my therapist about finding like a kid to mentor, and when I looked it up, that was one of the places that came up for a good place for advocacy for disabled people. One of those meetings. Oh, and they also put the meetings on Zoom. So I need to check that out too, because I'd like to scope it out first, see if I'm going to be like chased off with pitchforks and brimstone before I go. See what kind of environment.
My local area ARC is pretty decent, though I don't really do any actual work there, but I have done painting classes with them.
Nice.
Maybe I should do those again, put the paintings on the Patreon.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Hell, or even film it.
No, because it's a group painting class.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. There's a chance that I will get someone on there who, you know, even disabled people have the right to consent to not being filmed. Absolutely. So. But yeah, back to the awareness and charity topic. A lot of the other reason that I have such a problem with how awareness is done is that it doesn't really do anything. Like, we've been holding these awareness things for 30, 40 years. Every corporation is doing an awareness thing. Meanwhile, my neighborhood doesn't have a sidewalk sometimes.
I know that in Greensboro, there is, or was many years ago, a sidewalk that ended with no curb cut. And my partner and I were, I think, probably just going to catch the bus or for a stroll or something. And we're like, what the ever-living fuck? So when you told me that you were going to go take a picture of that, I was like, oh, I know that feeling. And you said you got a picture, right?
I hadn't really had a chance to get a picture yet. That's going to be next week. A lot of things happen.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. Whenever it happens, better late than never.
Yeah. And that's just, and you know, sidewalks, that's the other major thing. Cities can do so much more for, you know, disabled people, like hiring disabled people to work for them.
Yeah.
Like, I was like talking about how inclusive they are, but there's always some reason they don't hire us. They don't enforce anti-discrimination laws very well.
But
now I'm going to get really cynical with you.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you why we've been doing awareness for 40 years.
Yeah.
Awareness is sexy. It's fun. Run a marathon to raise awareness of cancer. Run awareness to run a marathon to raise awareness of pick your own disability. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have a big dance with celebrities to raise an awareness. To raise awareness.
I can confirm. It's one reason I do what I do. Or at least that's what I tell people. That's the other reason that, because I can't tell them the real reason. But if I tell them that, they're like, oh, okay, good for you. Way to go. Because otherwise, I'm a big, you know what?
Yeah. But raising awareness, it doesn't present any conflicts. Everybody can get behind it. Once you move beyond awareness, sometimes there will be conflicts. Parent groups will be in conflict with disabled people. Politicians will be in conflict with each other. But if we all stay on awareness, all the able people are happy.
What do you mean if we all stay on awareness?
But if all the various groups are focused on awareness, and you know, rather than doing things, they're all happy because they won't have to disagree with each other or challenge their own biases or the things that make people unhappy.
For example?
Like, well, let's say the city decides they want to do building sidewalks instead of, you know, the 50th awareness event they have this week. Well, awareness is free, but building those sidewalks costs money.
Yeah.
Some politicians have a whole thing about not wanting to spend money on anything.
Yeah, and an awareness event probably bring in donations, all kinds of stuff like that.
Not to mention news press, because I've worked in journalism and every local journalist loves a good awareness story.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God, now I got something else you need to rip on.
About what?
What's funny is that most of these awareness stories aren't covered by disabled journalists.
No, of course not.
In fact, I have heard stories of disabled journalists being told that they can't cover disability issues because it would make them biased or something.
I'm sure.
So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Or they would just completely disregard the assignment and just say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. If, like, say it's not Disability Awareness Month, they would just totally, but no, I don't want the newspaper to cover that story. We don't think it's a good idea.
But of course, I know it's been a bit of a ranty episode, but I think we should go with a little more positive ending because there is positives in all this, especially since this is going to be posted, you know, in the season of giving, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever. And all the charities will be looking for big donations because this is the time of year that the donations get really turned into overdrive.
Yeah.
We can end the episode, you know, helping people, you know, learn how to spot good organizations to give to.
How is that?
Well, one of my major things as far as disability organizations go is the organization led or have a significant presence of people with disabilities on the board.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you need to know, because if the organization is mostly led by able-bodied people, chances are pretty good that the money you're going to give is not going to go toward helping the actual disabled people. Secondly, you know, I always go on their website, you know, check the news and see what they're doing for disabled people. If it's mostly awareness, waste of time. Look for groups like the ARC or your local adaptive sports organizations. They actually do things that are of value for disabled people.
What are some other local organizations that you've done awareness, or maybe just not even awareness, organizations that you've worked with that were good?
Well, let's see. I've worked with sports organizations. I don't want to give out their names because it would reveal where we live. I'm not sure I want to do that. But most cities and states have groups like the Paralympics with their own various subgroups they're affiliated with. Special Olympics will have somebody from the local community running something under their own name. Sometimes you just gotta look around. If you're disabled and you're going to physical therapy, ask your physical therapist. They'll probably know something.
Yeah. Have you been to any awareness events that looked like they were actually close to getting it right?
I'll be honest. I've worked with a few in college, and even then, close is kind of really, really stretching it. I mean, they at least had Christmas presents for the people they were trying to raise awareness for, so I guess that's good.
Yeah. Well, they didn't do anything successful for us to help, really. But they gave us Christmas presents, so
yeah,
guess it was alright. Sounds like a Jim Gaffigan joke.
Most of the awareness organizations I've worked with kind of sound like a Jim Gaffigan joke.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to knock the people themselves. They're not bad people.
Yeah.
They're just putting their energy into the wrong thing. I want to stress this.
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to run an event and you're trying to, you know, highlight the barriers, I love the positivity. Get somebody with a bag of concrete and make a curb cut.
Yep. And just for God's sakes, consult a disabled person. It's not that difficult.
Yeah. And remember, the event is not about you, not about your guest stars, not about the parents. It's about the disabled people. I know that parents play a key role in a lot of these organizations. But at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's not about them. It's about the person with the disability or disabled people or, you know, whatever they want to be called, because some people prefer person with disability. Yeah. Some people will prefer disabled people. It really depends on who you ask.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too on here because It's funny because I was looking at some things online, and but what do you prefer?
Well, I usually prefer my first name, but but disabled person is fine if you're trying to figure out, you know, the category. Yeah. Person with disability just sounds clunky.
Yeah. Honestly, I really don't care. I think handicapable is just stupid.
Oh, sweet. Sweet Jesus.
But if that's what you want to say, go ahead. But honestly, I think the best term for me is disabled. They're like, you're not disabled, you do a lot. I'm like, yeah, but hello. Have you seen my body? It is literally disabled. It doesn't do anything and it can't. It won't. It refuses to listen to me. So disabled sounds pretty fucking accurate to me. So, but so funny.
People get, and honestly, handicapable just sounds like something you would say to a kindergartner. Like,
I know. And some adults use it too. It's like, okay.
And they're usually ones who talk to disabled people like kindergartners. So yeah, that's why I don't really care for that term. Yeah. But yeah, that's all I really have to say about awareness.
Yeah.
So
Good points.
You're picking a topic for next week, so why don't you introduce the people what the topic will be?
All right. Next episode, we're going to be talking about housing and just everything about housing and disability, you know, trying to find it when you are moving or you need it, the difficulties, the ease, what makes it easier. And we're talking about housing of urban development, aka HUD, and just everything dealing with housing, whether you're, when you're starting out, moving to your first apartment on your own, out of your parents' house. And that can be pretty scary at first. And then maintaining that. And if you don't maintain it, doesn't mean you're a failure. Just gotta try again. And, yeah, I've got a lot to say about it. Because housing is rough. But it can be, and it, you need housing. Especially for people with disabilities. It's what keeps you safe. It's your home. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And stability is important. We've lived in partner and I have lived in some very interesting places, as in apartment buildings, things, not just cities, but yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, with that, I think it's time to end the episode, because I got nothing else. Have a nice day, everybody.
Yes, thanks for tuning in.
Like and subscribe.
Yes, please. Like.
Don't forget to donate to our Patreon. Mm-hmm. If you have a business, feel free to sponsor us.
I think that we will probably put something about that sidewalk on our Patreon, whenever that happens.
Yep.
For about this episode. And yeah, so thank you, like you said. Like and subscribe. You can get us on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, and there's a couple more, but I can't think of right now. And it's We Roll With It. And we are on Facebook, Twitter, Blue Sky. And I think that's it. Do you want to see us on Instagram? I've had some thoughts about that. I might do that.
We'll discuss that behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Credit for music goes to Alex Productions. You can find them on YouTube. We'll put a link in the description. Have a nice day, everybody.
Thanks, guys. See you later. Talk to you later. Bye.